Honduran activist Berta Cáceres was shot and killed in her home in La Esperanza, Intibucá, early Thursday, March 3rd. The killer's ID is unknown, but virtually everyone points to the increasingly reactionary and violent Honduran government, which for years threatened and harassed Cáceres, her family, and her colleagues for their often successful defense of indigenous land rights in the face of corporate attempts at dispossession and extraction. U.S. media noted her murder and the outcry of grief, but as Adam Johnson noted for FAIR.org, coverage had a glaring problem. Almost none of it mentioned that the brutal regime that likely killed Cáceres came to power in a 2009 coup d'état supported by the United States. The Honduran military abducted elected President Manuel Zelaya at gunpoint and flew him out of the country on June 28, 2009. The UN, the EU, and the Organization of American States rushed to condemn the coup, along with 15 House Democrats who sent a letter to the Obama White House insisting that the State Department, quote, follow through with the total suspension of non-humanitarian aid as required by law, close quote. But the State Department, under Hillary Clinton, refused. Emails released last year show that Clinton knew there was a coup, but rather than condemn it, she attempted to use lobbyist Lanny Davis to open up back channels with Roberto Micheletti, the illegitimate interim ruler installed after the coup, an effective endorsement of the new right-wing government. Clinton acknowledges this role in her memoir, saying she planned to push for new elections quickly so as to, quote, render the question of Zelaya moot, close quote. In September 2009, State Department officials blocked the OAS from adopting a resolution that would have refused to recognize Honduran elections carried out under the dictatorship, giving the U.S.'s final seal of approval to the coup that has led to the purging of environmental, LGBT, and indigenous activists. The Washington Post, NBC, CNN, and NPR omitted mention of the coup. The New York Times noted that since the event, journalists, judges, labor leaders, human rights defenders, and environmental activists have been assassinated in targeted killings, with their murders often going unsolved. But the U.S. role in setting that scene was left out. As we tape the show, activists are calling for independent investigation into Cáceres' assassination, as well as protection for Gustavo Castro Soto, coordinator of Friends of the Earth Mexico, who was also shot in the attack that killed Cáceres and is now being interrogated. A March 3rd article in the New York Times carried the headline, Conservative Lawmakers Push New Legal Protections for Opponents of Gay Rights. That headline is echoed in the lead, which reads, quote, less than a year after the Supreme Court recognized a constitutional right to same-sex marriage, conservative lawmakers across the country are pushing for a new round of legal protections for opponents of gay rights, close quote. The story concerns proposed state legislation, usually known as First Amendment Defense Acts. New bills, the reporters say, quote, generally guarantee protection from any penalties for those who, on religious grounds, oppose same-sex marriage, close quote. That language could easily confuse readers into missing the obvious. There are no penalties for opposing same-sex marriage on any grounds. You are free to speak out against it, write articles criticizing it, organize protests denouncing it, and attend religious services condemning it. The full spectrum of First Amendment activities is available to opponents of marriage equality and requires no special defense. What you aren't allowed to do, in some situations, is discriminate against LGBT people, and these bills are an effort to make it okay to do so. Discrimination has not generally been seen as a First Amendment-protected activity. It's hard to picture the civil rights movement if it had been. But the organized homophobia movement is trying to rebrand discrimination as a kind of speech, hence the marketing of these pro-discrimination bills as First Amendment defense acts. And by framing the story as an attempt to get legal protections for opponents of gay rights, the Times is assisting them in that effort. Critics are quoted saying the bill's intent is to discriminate against gay and transgender people, but The Times never says that in its own voice about bills protecting actions such as refusing to employ openly gay people. The New York Times is often presented as almost immoderately pro-LGBT rights. This sort of story shows why that claim merits a closer look. And finally, March 8th was International Women's Day, but women are anything but international in broadcast and cable news media, as a new study from Media Matters released on that day illustrates. The importance of women's role in armed conflict, where they are especially affected by sexual violence, hunger, and displacement, has been widely noted, as well as women's centrality in the economic and social development that offers alternatives to war. But when corporate media discuss foreign affairs and national security, women all but disappear. Women were just 20% of the guests and commentators on those subjects on primetime cable news, that's CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC, in 2015. The Sunday Important People chat shows on broadcast TV were no better. 23% of their guests on this issue area were women. These are influential conversations about the impact of current and possible military actions, about trade rules affecting local economies, about development plans that change the material circumstances of millions of families around the world. Women's particular place and agency in these realities is a fact. So including women's perspectives in these stories isn't a favor, it's just journalism. Said differently, leaving women out is just discrimination, any day of the year. You're listening to Counterspin, brought to you each week by the Media Watch Group Fair.